This is Scott Berguin from KSOW in Cottage Grove, Oregon, and we are checking back in with the support team of the St. Patrick's Four that is on trial in Binghamton, New York. Their trial is ongoing right now. We're speaking with Tariq Abdulazim, who's one of the media people, I think, but certainly on the support team. Hello, Tariq.
Tariq.
Yes. You knew I was going to do that.
No problem, Scott. How are you?
I'm fine. So can you give us a rundown update on what's going on right now? I know there's a lot going on there, not just the trial.
Sure. I'll speak briefly to the trial.
And, okay.
The most important updates, and I wish I had better news, yesterday was definitely a roller coaster ride in the court. And the two most significant things that came from the court are that two of the defendants, Peter DeMott and Teresa Grady, are being held in contempt of court because they had let slip, mention four words that they were forbidden to say in our previous trial. Those are unfortunately not the only things they are forbidden to say. As some of your listeners may know, they are not able to talk about international law. They're not able to talk about the defense of necessity. They're not allowed to talk about the Iraq war or facts and statistics about it. They're not allowed to mention the Iraqi people. They're not allowed to talk about their travels to Iraq. It's been a very difficult time to present their testimony and to place their action in context under these incredibly difficult situations. And to make matters worse, like I said, by mentioning those four words, two of them are now being held in contempt of court.
So they are in jail?
They are not in jail. The judge will withhold discussion as to what exactly that penalty will be until the case concludes, and I imagine that's likely due to the fact that they are pro se, meaning that they are representing themselves, and if they were in jail in the evening, that would severely compromise their ability to prepare for the following day in court.
Okay.
The second most important thing that listeners need to know is that the original indictment that was handed to the four by an FBI agent, signed and written by the prosecutor Miroslav Lovrich, has now been changed just yesterday in court. And the wording could not be more crucial. In his original indictment, Lovrich writes that the charge, the most serious charge, the conspiracy charge, is to impede an officer of the United States by threat, intimidation, and force. And it continues, and, you know, the obstruction of his duties, and the impediment of, and there's probably about six ands.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday morning, the judge said that all of those ands will be changed to ors, which makes it incredibly easier for the government now to attain a conviction. Obviously, this was objected strongly by the defendants and their counselors. They met in chamber sessions last night, but the judge is going to maintain that this revision on the second day of their trial is going to stand, and that if they have problems with it, they could bring it up and appeal.
So let me understand this. So basically, the jury is already sitting. The jury has already heard some testimony of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like the charges, in a sense, change in the middle of the trial?
Yes, and I'm not exaggerating this. This is coming from yesterday's court proceedings, and all the people will see the transcript when mm-hmm. this trial is concluded. It's an incredible Kafkaesque twist in the case, and it actually sends a very chilling effect to anybody who may be considering civil disobedience or resistance or challenge to the criminal policies of this administration. I'd like, if you can give me just a minute, to read a quote from Bill Quigley, their legal counselor.
Sure, please.
I spoke with him yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and he told me, quote, "The government has charged the defendants with crimes based on a rarely used statute, so there isn't guiding case law telling us how the statute should be applied. But the implications of the judge's rulings today should not be underestimated. The government has disregarded the defendants' rights to due process and, in effect, changed the language of the indictment after trial has begun. Further, the government has taken what would have been considered a state-level misdemeanor offense that would result in 6 months local jail time and literally crafted federal law to fit so that it will now result in 6 years incarceration in federal prison. The effect this will have on the public's right to dissent, a cornerstone of our democracy, is absolutely chilling. So you can imagine that the counselors and the defendants were in quite a tiff yesterday. They spent literally 2 hours in the chamber session trying to negotiate this roller coaster and this surprise, and they understand that today will be no different, so they're prepared for anything, but it really is terrifying as to what's being conducted here in this court.
Right, well, certainly it was a blow that the judge would not allow testimony concerning why they carried out the acts they did, the information about the war and so on. But I suppose that probably wasn't totally surprising, that ruling. But
this
not only, I mean, affects this trial, obviously, but and you just think of anybody, whether they're dissenters or not, if the government can change the charges against you in the middle of your trial, it's mind-boggling.
It's mind-boggling, and I think all of this needs to put in a larger context. And last night, you also know that we've been convening the Citizens' Tribunal on Iraq,
mm-hmm.
and this was primarily a direct response to Judge McAvoy's ruling that they would not be able to speak about all of these issues, which must be considered to properly serve justice in this case. So we convened expert witnesses to provide this testimony. Last night we heard from legal experts, and it was an incredible evening, and much of the video will be posted on Binghamton Indie Media very soon. A team of local volunteers have been doing an incredible job documenting the events, and the previous panels Monday and Tuesday are already online. But we have to understand that this administration has a very, and not just this administration, all of its cohorts and allies in the Department of Justice and the Homeland Security, there are plans that have been drafted some time ago. And we have to think that Iraq War, all of these plans were drafted, you know, as early as 1995, 1997, and 9/11 gave them the pretext. There's been plans for the Patriot Act. Again, 9/11 gave them the pretext.
Mm-hmm.
There were plans to dismantle the Posse Comitatus Act, which would allow the military to be used in national emergencies. Hurricane Katrina is now giving them the context to proceed with these plans. And I think if we look at these larger trends, and we now see that what's happening to these four parents who, in their greatest spirit and democratic tradition, upheld law by resisting the criminality of our government, and what can be done to people who engage in that act is absolutely terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
All citizens need to be very concerned about this. This case will likely conclude tomorrow, perhaps even this evening. They will finish testimony. Danny Burns is being cross-examined right now as we speak,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure the prosecutor will bait him into contempt of court as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then it will be Claire Grady to take the stand. There will be one or two character witnesses, and then the judge will charge the jury and send them off to deliberate the case.
Well, I know, having served on a jury before, that they try to establish a jury that has no knowledge previously of the case. We, of course, know how, in some cases, of course, that's not possible. And I guess I find myself thinking, I hope these people know something about this before they came in and sat in that jury box. But,
So do I. I will say, though, there are a couple small, glimmers of hope. Mm-hmm. One is that quite a few of us, and one of the legal counselors does as well, thinks that the judge really is tortured about this case.
Mm.
And at one point, when Bill Quigley asked for dismissal of this case because the prosecutor, immediately when the prosecution closed, he said he proved nothing. He proved absolutely nothing about this threat, intimidation of force. You're saying that they use these, tactics, these violent and aggressive tactics, and the prosecutor showed nothing. The judge literally said, quote, "I'm not saying they did any of this. The government is saying they did this," which was a really peculiar statement. And again, I think it's this legal framework that's trying to be constructed, and the judge finds himself in the pinch as well. And there are times at which I think the judge has been checking out, literally at the bench checking out, because he is a bit personally tortured by this. So because of that, Teresa Grady on the stand was actually able to mention jury nullification.
Oh, really?
Which shocked us all, and even more so that the prosecutor didn't object. She mentioned that her father, John Grady, was part of Camden 28, in which they burned draft cards, and the jury acquitted them of all charges, deciding that it was better to destroy government property than to destroy human lives.
And neither the prosecutor nor the judge
objected.
Interesting.
And we are all stunned, and the legal counsel couldn't believe it. So there's it. I mean, it really is a bizarre proceeding.
Well, I mean, I, as a person, I guess because I've had a little bit of experience with it, I do believe in the jury system with all of its with all of its problems, of course, that have come up. But I'd like to think that these people are thinking and got to be thinking, going, okay, now why? This isn't just about somebody going in and throwing blood. And
right.
You know, there's something going on here.
And they are speaking so eloquently, and it's so obvious that the four of these parents have nothing but compassion and kindness in their heart. The recruiter even said that they were friendly people. They have, you know, made endearing comments. At one point, Teresa, when the prosecutor told her that he had absolutely no questions to ask of her in the cross-examination, she laughed and said, "Oh, I love you." And there is this kind of very jovial and sincere moments in which we all understand the roles of judge, the jury, they drop away, and we're like, we're just humans here. And
right.
We're talking about war and killing, and something strange is being happening here with the government going after these four parents with such draconian punishments.
Right. Well, let's hope that there's a transformation going on. I have to admit, though, I find myself thinking, I wonder if this judge is being talked to about a Supreme Court nomination. But let's hope not. at least not now. Okay, so you've the trial... I guess it makes sense that it would wrap up really quickly if a large part of the testimony from the defense is not allowed.
Yeah, and like I said, it's, you know, they're able to speak about their faith and their histories and why they're committed so much to nonviolence. You know, but there was a point yesterday, for example, another Teresa was talking about photos that she brought to the military recruiting center with her. And this was evidence, just as the blood and the bottles were. And she wanted to speak about the images. And as soon as she started to talk about the Iraqi photos and the children, the prosecutor stood up and said, "Objection." And in a very bizarre but revealing statement, the judge said, "Sustained, the jury will disregard the Iraqi people." And I know I'm taking that out of context.
Did he actually say that?
Yeah. But that's incredibly symbolic of what is being tried here.
Oh, my gosh. That is out of context, but what an incredible...
It's just one of those moments of vision, which
right.
This is what is being adjudicated.
Right.
Are we going to disregard others as human beings, or are we going to understand that collateral damage has a face?
Right, and not to mention the not only just the democratic responsibility, but the more importantly, the humane responsibility of every one of us to speak out.
Exactly.
Hopefully, like these folks attempted, and many millions of people around the world attempted before the criminal act is committed.
And Danny Burns has been bringing that up repeatedly, that this was a worldwide effort. 7,000 people were arrested that day. That they were as well committing acts of nonviolent resistance in the States alone. And it's great because he keeps repeating something that I think is so effective on the stand yesterday. He kept saying, "Yes, I believe my actions were lawful. However," and he'd look at the jury, "I'm not allowed to tell you why I believe that."
And they don't object to that?
They don't object. And he said it probably three or four times, and it's a very powerful tactic, and it makes the jury realize that, again, there's a gag order, something's strange, something's unusual here.
So can they even say the word Iraq?
Oh, yes, they can speak Iraq, they can't talk about the specifics or facts. Like when Claire talked about her travels over to Iraq and she saw the devastation wrought by, you know, 10 years of economic sanctions and 100,000 children. Objection. So as soon as numbers and facts and statistics come up, then the prosecutor is quick to object and the judge is just as quick to sustain. So it's a very strange game of cat and mouse, and Danny Burns yesterday put it perfectly. In trying to, I think, speak more about the legality of the Iraq war, the prosecutor objected, and he said sustained, the judge sustained, and he said, please, you know, I take this very seriously. I could be pulled away from my son for 6 years, and I would hate to sit in jail. Excuse me.
It's all right. It's all right. Scott, me too, by the way, so go ahead.
He said, I'd hate to sit in jail and think about why didn't I say this. So they are pushing the boundaries, and they're testing them. Sometimes they get away with it, sometimes they don't.
Well, it's a powerful thing that I hope through whatever means we can get more and more people to know about it. And I assume you guys need as much support as you can get, and can you lay out for us maybe the best way for folks to support?
Absolutely.
Y'all right now.
We've made a very comprehensive website. It's St. Patrick's Forum. I need to spell that out. www.stpatricks, P-A-T-R-I-C-K-S, FOUR.org. And there is a page specifically for support. We have a letter of support online that people can sign on to. We have over tens of thousands of signatures now. We are asking people to contact their elected officials just to inform them that this case is occurring, that 4 parents are being prosecuted by a criminal administration. We also have donations, obviously. These are 4 working parents. All of them are the primary income earners. They're all blue collars. One's a painter, one's a tree trimmer, one's a masseuse. So any donations that can be made would be greatly appreciated. And then finally, if they can write a letter to their editor as soon as possible, that would be fantastic. And also just, it really has been an inspiring and educational experience. I've never seen such courage, and it would be great if more people were to do what they did.
Right, and that's kind of the idea, isn't it? Make it hard for them to try, because there's too many of us.
And that's precisely what the government understands, that nonviolence and the power of nonviolence is the last thing which they cannot control. And it's through our hearts and through our compassion, our desire for justice, that we can follow that path. And, you know, as Martin Luther King says, the arc of the universe is long, but it bends towards justice.
Yes.
And it's a pleasure and an honor to walk this path with them.
Well, sorry. Well, Tarek, it's an honor to be able to talk to you and have you not only express with clarity the situation, you know, the nuts and bolts of what's going on, but also I think equally important is expressing the emotion that's...
Well, thank you. When you're surrounded by this much compassion, it's hard not to. So, thanks for letting me talk to you and your listeners, and I hope that if we get a chance to speak again, I'll have nothing but good news.
Okay, well, let's hope so, and I will check back in with you, and next time we can talk about, obviously, an update on how the trial's going, or if it has ended, what the conclusion was, but also perhaps about the, I'd like to hear more, I think folks would like to hear more about the Citizens Tribunal, which
sure,
I think is something that should be replicated also around the country.
Right.
All right.
There's great documentation on the website, St. Patrick's 4, about the tribunal, as well as Indy Media.
Okay.
And Thanks again. I look forward to speaking with you soon.
Okay, thank you, Tarek, and have a great day, and hang in there. Appreciate your time.
All right.
All right.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Bye.